Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Joel, I'm Jeremy. Mark. It is a Friday edition Mark. Of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. He's back. Tyrod Taylor is back for the Houston Texans. The 1-7 Houston Texans get their star quarterback back ahead of Sunday's game at Hard Rock Stadium against the Miami Dolphins.
Just in time to take on Dell's Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins. The powerhouse.
That was brutal.
The powerhouse that is the Miami Dolphins.
You got to stop.
Like, here's the scary thing, right? And for once, we'll turn the tables, and I'll actually take something from the wheelhouse. I heard them talking. Starting Tyrod Taylor actually gives the Texans a shot at winning. I don't like that.
I would agree with that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do, and I don't like that. They're absolutely right. I don't like the fact that if done the right way, like we said, aside from just embracing the suck, you follow the game plan to get where you need to go, which is the premier position in every round of the draft. And that's another reason why when you and I were talking about this, when the announcement was made that Taylor was going to take over the reins or regain the reins and that, you know, that Mills was going to go back, I was completely against it. And so you look at it, and because Miami is having such a down year as it is, and, you know, Tua's kind of finding himself, but they're all over the place, and they have lost to Jacksonville already, just like you beat Jacksonville. You're like, you know what? This gives them a chance to win, and that scares me.
Nah, I'm not changing my survivor pick. I'm not doing it.
I'm not trying to convince you. I'm not worried about your survivor pick. I'm worried about them winning a game.
This entire city's on the edge of their seat trying to get me to survive the week of the NFL. The Texans are still really bad. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with the wheelhouse that Tyrod Taylor gives you a better chance to win. Like, I'm not going to make that argument. We know what I've said about Davis Mills this entire season. Who is a better quarterback right now today in the NFL? There's no doubt it's Tyrod Taylor. So if you have the better quarterback that's taking over for a lesser quarterback, simply, yes, you have a better chance to win on Sunday. The rest of this team's abysmal, though. Like, I'm really not that worried about it.
Yeah, but Jeremy, here's what you got to understand. Aside from Mac Jones,
oh, stop it.
Davis Mills is he's right there, man. He's right there. Just ask old Nick. Aside from old Mac Jones with the Patriots, they got themselves a looker.
Yeah, stop it. Here's what David Culley, Texans head coach, had to say yesterday in regards to Tyrod Taylor.
He's healthy, and he's our starting quarterback.
There you go. He's healthy. He's our starting quarterback. Culley was in a bad mood yesterday. I was watching that press conference. He wasn't as friendly as David Culley normally is. Like, Ted Lasso had a little mental episode where he kind of got a little bit different than his normal happy self. I saw that a little bit yesterday in David Culley. He was short. He was upset. He was frowny. Wasn't that happy.
I think because the analytics was run and it was found out that the noise was actually quieter in the fourth quarter. And it wasn't a playoff atmosphere.
Are you sure?
When they were going on their run. And I think he got called out on it, and maybe that put him in a less than stellar mood.
The decibel level was not that high during that fourth quarter.
I hate to break it to him, but it wasn't, you know, roof open, roof closed, doesn't matter. That needle was not a pushing.
How bad of a comment was that, by the way? Like, I've been thinking about that a little bit. It was 50-0 going into the fourth quarter. You score three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and you're talking about how you were feeding off the fans, and there was a playoff atmosphere at NRG, a ghost town NRG, by the way, who they had, what, about 30,000 people go through the turnstiles last Sunday against the Rams game, and how many of those guys were still there going into the fourth quarter? Probably half of them. So there's less than 20,000 people there in the fourth quarter, yet you had a playoff environment for a fourth quarter comeback when you're down by a billion going into it.
Yeah, and you think about it, the people that were still there were at the Star Bar trying to pick up some action before they headed home or headed over to happy hour. They weren't there to watch the fourth quarter with hopes and aspirations this team was going to turn it around real quickly and get back in the ball game. The Rams were absolutely crushing your soul for three quarters. Yeah. I don't know why anybody would want to stick around, but the fact that he came with that kind of quote, and I don't know if he thought, well, I don't know how many people will hear this, but it's only going to be real diehard Texans fans, so they're going to be with me, or whatever his mentality was in letting that come out of his pie hole. But when that came out, I mean, everybody that maybe before was on the side of, this is a great dude, I'm going to support this guy, he's my football coach, had to start scratching their temple going, man, what is this guy trying to do? What bill of goods is he trying to sell us? Because like I told you, it's like the classic spin that we've gotten lately out of our sports teams, primarily the Rockets and Texans, that we don't want, need, or deserve. We are all competent, educated sports fans, including the media and the fan bases. You can't tell us it's gold when it's black and vice versa, or whatever that dress thing was on the internet. You can't convince us it's something that it's not. So stop trying to do it.
Not only that, too, but Caserio, when he was talking the other day, he said he has fans coming up to him, like, appreciating the job that they're doing. Like, they're delusional right there at Kirby. And you can't fool the smart, educated fan base that we have in Houston.
So let me ask you a question, because, you know, even when we started this show, I started asking you the same question. So you're telling me Caserio and Cully walk into an HEB or their local grocery store. Uh-huh. You're telling me, percentage-wise, more people are going to go up and pat them on the back and compliment them on the job they're doing than want to punch them in the face?
No. No one's going up and talking to them at all. They're running away because they know that everything they touch is toxic.
Or they're following Caserio to the organic fruit and vegetable aisle to see what he's actually nibbling on when it's not barbecue and Tex-Mex that he's almost allergic to. He's so anti.
We have Southern hospitality in Houston. I don't think anybody's heckling Caserio and Cully at the local grocery store, but certainly not pats on the back.
But the original question that I asked, all right, if Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby walked into the grocery store, who's getting punched first?
I would go Easterby.
I think it's, you know what, as much as the long-term damage was done by O'Brien, I really believe the Janet Jackson philosophy always is first and foremost, what have you done for me lately? And lately, there are more people pissed off with Jack Easterby than they are the gone but not forgotten Bill O'Brien.
It's an impossible question to answer because they're not. Both of them are not very high in popularity in this city.
It's easy if you answer it from Charlie Palillo's perspective.
Why is that?
Neither one of them, and anybody thinking that, should know that violence is not something we should be promoting on this show.
I see my Whole Foods. I'm going to still slap that dude up because I don't like him.
That's exactly what's happening, Charlie.
Altercations at Whole Foods. I'm going to slap that dude up at Whole Foods.
I was at Whole Foods today. I don't think it would happen at Whole Foods. HEB is a different story. I think the gloves are off.
Lance McCullers loves his Whole Foods. Cully was saying why they're going with they were going with Tyrod Taylor. Here's why they're going with Tyrod Taylor.
He was our starting quarterback, and he got hurt. And he's back healthy now, and he's starting. And the fact that he's been our leader going into the year, will that help us? I hope so. We'll see.
It's like me deciding which car I'm driving to work that day. Well, it was my car. Then it went into the shop, and then I got it back, so it's still my car. That's kind of what David Kelly was saying there.
You holding out on Dell and I? You got like multiple cars you choose from to drive?
I have one car that I drive. My wife has a car, too. But, I mean, it's just this is David Kelly. I don't know if I feel raw or bad about David Cully about this at all because he accepted this job and it is a train wreck. And I don't think David Cully's all that good of a coach. But at the same time, like criticizing David Cully for what is a debacle of a franchise, I feel a little bit guilty doing that. Like it's worrying about the landscape as the buildings are on fire. There's two different angles that I want to take seriously here, though. And the first one is Tyrod Taylor is now taking over as the quarterback of the Houston Texans. And you alluded to this because, look, embrace the suck. Have the top pick of the draft, as good a pick as you possibly can. If Detroit doesn't win a game, how about you win a game, Detroit? But like that's the first angle you have to look at this, because what's best for the benefit of this organization going forward is to have as high of a draft pick that you possibly can. And making Tyrod Taylor your starting quarterback gives you a better chance to win. So it diminishes slightly the chances of you having a top two, top three pick of the NFL draft. The other angle I want to look at this too is, if you believe in Davis Mills, like Nick Caserio, I don't know if he believes him or not, even though he's the second best rookie in the NFL, according to Nick Caserio. Like, what is in the best interest of the Davis Mills development? Like, if you believe that he can eventually be something, and I'm not even going to throw out like a franchise quarterback label on this because it's far too early and he hasn't shown anything near that. But if you believe that someday Davis Mills has a chance, a slight chance, very small, very slim of a chance to be the quarterback going forward for this team, is it in the best interest in that regard that he doesn't play, that he sits for a little while, or that he continues to play and gets the valuable reps of playing in the NFL?
I think it's the positive is in a result that's negative on the field for the short term. I think there's more positives with putting him out there to understand how to read defenses, to understand in real speed how you go through your progressions, how you don't stare down receivers, how you take your lump sometimes, how when, you know, what's the ramifications of missing a read or not audibilizing, things like that. I think that there's a lot of value to that. It's not that I want to see him get hurt. It's not that I want to see any kind of long-term damage done. I think that practice can only emulate real game speed to a certain degree, and even then, you're not going to emulate the way that the hits are coming and the severity in which the defense is thinking about doing things to you when you're trying to be out there, when they're trying to stop you. I think that that and more says he should be out there. And then because you are looking for the ultimate result of, hey, great effort, but you lost, that would be a huge win. I think that's why he should be out there.
See, I think the second angle is important too, because the first one is the priority, is embracing the suck, getting as high of draft pick as you can. No doubt that's the priority, but the second angle of that matters too. And I don't feel like people are talking about the second angle of, okay, what does this actually mean for the development of Davis Mills? He is a rookie. He is the third rounder. He was Nick Caserio's first ever pick as the Houston Texans general manager. And if you want to find out what he is, maybe you play him a few snaps. I think playing snaps can help the development. You can also argue behind a bad offensive line, it can stunt the development. But it was kind of interesting, this quote from David Culley about what he's seen so far from Davis Mills.
It's been an invaluable experience for him. He's grown from it. He's going to be better for it. His future is going to help him in his future, having gone through what he's gone through.
See, that to me is talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Because, well, that's shocking for them.
I mean, you're right. Ha, ha, ha. But, like, Tyrod Taylor, maybe you win one more game with him. And David Culley will talk about the value of winning and how winning's contagious and how winning's good for culture. Blah, 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 blah. But then on the other side, he's saying how it's invaluable for Davis Mills to play. And if I understand that David Culley has to think short term. And I can't even really fault David Culley for going Tyrod Taylor here. In fact, I think it should be a Nick Caserio decision, because Nick Caserio is the general manager, as general managers should be, are looking at the window. They're looking at the three-year span, the five-year span. They're looking at the forest, not the tree. The NFL head coach that's in that building every day, that's in practice every day, has to look at the right now. So I get it. Like, I'm not even blaming Culley for going Tyrod Taylor. My blame here, and it should be assigned to Nick Caserio. Caserio should be laying it down on Culley, saying, look, Davis Mills is going to be our starting quarterback for the reasons you just said.
Well, and the thing is, though, too, Jeremy, and it's like I liken it to, if you gave Steven Silas the choice of trading away James Harden and Russell Westbrook or keeping one or both of them, He would have said, I would rather keep them. I would rather they stay. The same way any head coach in the NFL, especially this late in his career, getting his first opportunity, no matter what the big picture is for the organization, this coach wants to win because he wants to prove he belongs. He wants to prove that he can do the job. He wants to prove that whether it be here or somewhere else, he could get another job like this no matter what his age is. And so therefore, I think that's where it's not a disconnect, but it's just a difference in philosophy. Because it's just like you or me or anybody else. When we take a job and we're there and we're being paid to do a job, we want to do it the best we can. And so you want to make sure that you're successful. He wants to succeed. He knows in the back and the front of his mind that if I start Tyrod Taylor, I have a fighting chance to be in this ball game, as opposed to getting my doors blown off by three or four teams this season already, by not having even a puncher's chance because of the fact that Davis Mills was overmatched.
See, I think the job is in embracing the suck. I think the job is being part of the development of this organization and trying to get it on track in 3 years. I get that point, and that's normally the job of every NFL head coach, mm-hmm. to win as many games as you can, simply put.
You think it was conveyed to him?
Apparently not.
See, that's the biggest thing. If you are a true top-notch organization, right, as part of the interview process or, hey, and the ideal time to do it is before you hire the guy and say, look, I'm just going to be straight up with you. We're bringing you in, but you're going to have to endure the fact that we're bringing you in to lose. We're bringing you in to basically endure a couple of tough years so we can get this thing restarted. If you're in for that, the money's going to be there. We're not going to fire you, and here's what you got.
They're just – the way they're rebuilding this team is just – it's weird. Trading away draft picks for veterans that never make the team, bringing in a lot of older veterans and then not trading them at the trade deadline. Like, what they're doing, to, in my opinion, is failing in this rebuild of, like, the three-year window. They're not making the moves that you should be making if you want to win in 2025. All right, we're just getting started. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. You want to weigh in on this. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham on Twitter. Coming up next, Astros bringing back one of their core four. They make it official with Yuli Gurriel. What that might mean for the rest of the offseason, that's next. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I love it. My guy's putting me in a good mood on a Friday. How does this song not make you happy? You don't like Selena? What's wrong with you? I mean, I knew you're from... Tell me you're from Wisconsin without telling me you're from Wisconsin. Not liking Selena.
Who said I didn't? I just...
You have a look of disgust every time this music hits.
I would bump back with something a little different, but because you've been begging for it, he appeases you because you guys have this bromance.
You don't understand. That's not why. I mean, let's be honest. Since August, you haven't got the full Dell experience. let's get it going on the last day.
I like it. Let's do it.
Yeah, way to go, Dell. Way to leave us. Thanks.
Yeah. Dell, if you haven't heard, I think everybody's heard. Dell's moving over to the network. He's leaving us after
today. To be with his partner in more ways than one now so that he can be with Fred and Fred. Fred Davis
and
Fred
Fowler. Do you think your insinuations speak to a deeper-seated issue?
No. Is he not your partner on college football game day?
Yeah, you said in more ways than one. There's always double entendre with you.
There's not. You're looking for it. You're delving in too deeply.
And that's terrible.
That's what you're doing.
Oof, I'm not going to miss this.
He's like 0 for 4 in puns in the first 20 minutes of this show.
But see, here's the thing. I'm like Nick Caserio. I'm not trying for wins. I'm just trying.
You're embracing the
I'm just getting my reps in. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, great song. Thank you for that, Dale. I needed that on a Friday where it's kind of, you know, dull in the city a little bit. Atlanta's having a parade, and I'm doing my best to ignore what's going on in Atlanta, but it's hard whenever you follow so many Twitter people or sports people on Twitter. I'm just going to pretend like that doesn't exist, like the rest of us, and just pretend like that loss never happened in Game 6 of the World Series.
The jock strap is throwing pearls at the parade. Yay, jock. Gotta hate that guy.
He's really the only guy in Atlanta I don't like, by the way. Like, if you would have lost to the Dodgers, that would have been brutal.
Yeah,
like,
I don't have any hatred.
It sucks losing, period.
For the Braves. I really don't. I don't have hatred for the Braves. I obviously wanted to beat the Braves, but he's the one. You're right. He's the one guy that just completely gets under my skin, and it's more because of his time with the Dodgers and the crap that he pulled. Yeah. But I can't, you know.
And he wasn't even a factor in the series, so you can't even really dislike him because he didn't even do anything.
No, but in the NLCS, when he hits a home run, he's doing the antics all around the bases, and then he makes sure as loud and as, like, easily to decipher in the dugout as possible, he has to overbrag on himself, like, I effing crushed the F out of that MF-er, and it's like, shut up. Go twirl your pearls. Jeez.
Astros bringing back Yuli Gurriel, the team option that they had on him, $8 million, really affordable deal for what was the batting champion in the American League. You're bringing him back on $8 million. This was a nice move by James Click. Like, we look at all the very minor moves that, like, Nick Caserio makes, or at least I do, and we criticize them. Criticize them. We also give them praise whenever it's a good move. There just hasn't been a lot of them. One of the moves that James Click made that kind of gets lost in the radar was re-signing Yuli Gurriel when he did towards the end of the regular season last year, because he had a bad regular season. He wasn't very good. A lot of people, including myself, thought he was washed, thought he was done. And James Click signed him to a two-year deal, with the second year of that deal being a team option. And boy, I mean, talk about the return on investment. An affordable contract this season. He's the American League batting champion. And then you bring him back next year on an $8 million deal. One of the underrated moves that James Click has made that really makes this team better, not only this year, but I believe next year as well.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy, I'd like to say that he saw something that a lot of people, as you mentioned, and Charlie and I had these discussions on the press box over and over again, where he was pretty much convinced that Yuli was probably over the hill done, and he had a lot of concerns about Altuve being right behind him in a lot of ways because of the year that they put up in 2020, because they struggled so mightily. But the fact that you had to come through, you came through, and you could have done a one-year deal with Yuli, but instead, whether you believe it's for loyalty or you saw something that a lot of people didn't, to give him the two-year deal, and it couldn't have worked out any better. I mean, for the guy to win the batting title at $8 million, why the hell wouldn't you bring him back for one more at eight? He's going to win a gold glove at first base.
Maybe.
Oh, my God, maybe. Come on. He had more digs than any other first baseman in baseball.
If he doesn't win it, though, you're going to be shocked.
Well, I was shocked last year when Correa didn't win it at shortstop. Yeah, that's what I mean. Because I thought he really deserved it more than J.P. Crawford. But, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, unless, again, we talk about criteria and otherwise, and we don't know the entire voting for it, but unless something really crazy happens, he's going to win a gold glove. He won the batting title. And if you went out to any general manager in the league and said, hey, I'm not going to call him by name, but I can give you a gold glove first baseman that's going to win the batting title for you for $8 million, are you in? I don't know a single general manager in the entire league that would say, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah, when he re-signed him was curious. But he even said when he re-signed him that some of the advanced metrics that they like to look at, that they like to follow, showed that he was going to get out of this. They looked at like the expected batting average, all that sabermetric analytical stuff, and they liked what they saw. So credit James Click for being able to predict what Yuli Gurriel was going to do, which basically is a general manager's job, right? You're supposed to be making your best decision based on what you think a player is going to do for the duration of his contract or the remainder of his career. And that was a success. Now, you have him this coming year for $8 million, and you do have to wonder, though, how much is left in the tank of Yuli Gurriel, the batting champion this year, 319, lost a bunch of power, only 15 homers this season, walked a lot, got a lot of doubles. I mean, good offensive player. But you wonder a little bit at age 38 what he's going to be. Again, you have to pick up this contract. But one thing I would like to see, I wouldn't mind seeing Yordan Alvarez start to get some starts at first base.
Couldn't agree more. And I've thought about it since they brought him in, especially before we got to the point where we might see the end of the pitcher hitting and the designated hitter. When you look at it and trying to find all the bats in the lineup, Yordan would be a great candidate for first base. He's got the size. You know, everybody compares his body type to Big Poppy. Yeah, he's got that big backstop mentality for first base. But he's got to learn how to scoop. I mean, we just got done talking about Yuli and what he's been able to do. Do you think Yordan could do the same thing? I really don't. But at least you don't have him in the outfield, and we talk about the fact that his ticker just doesn't get to the certain MPH that you'd like when chasing down balls in the corner or finding a serviceable place for him to be, so he doesn't have to be the DH every day. First base is the natural position for him, but he's also got to want to do it, and then he's going to want to have to go down to the Winter League and other places and really work on the craft so that he gets better at it.
Yeah, and it's also a lighter load on the body than playing left field for 15, 20 games a year. I'd rather see him get those starts at first base, and then you have a plan going forward after Yuli Gurriel's time is done. One of the other critical things on in this offseason is the other side of the diamond, the other corner infield spot, and that's Alex Bregman. Todd Kalish joined the wheelhouse yesterday and talked about how Bregman wasn't himself this last two seasons.
The legs just haven't been there for him, and when you don't have your foundation, you really don't have much, and Alex has tried to play through a myriad of injuries to his legs, and it just hasn't worked out for him the way he's wanted to. He's not been able to be the Alex Bregman that we saw in 2019 and prior to that. So I'm expecting he will do whatever it takes in the offseason to get those legs right. And when that's right and his body is right, then we'll see the Bregman that we haven't seen the last couple of years. But I know he's as frustrated as anybody. He wanted to be a big part of things here in the postseason. It didn't go the way he wanted, and I just don't think he ever really had his legs under him this whole year, and even going back to last year. So hopefully we see him in 2022 at full strength, and we'll be able to see
the Breggy of old.
Thank you, Todd. 20 to 30 pounds of muscle that Alex Bregman added before the start of the season. I've seen a lot of people talk about this and how it might have influenced who Alex Bregman is. Look, you add 20, 30 pounds of muscle or any pounds onto your frame. To me, the first things that are going to go are your legs.
Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Right? This is exactly what we were talking about with Zion Williamson. Studies show, and I know numerous studies that have proven the fact that you're absolutely right. When you start adding more, whether it's muscle or fat or whatever, just weight, period. If your body is a certain, you know, a certain size height-wise and otherwise your skeleton is, you know, a certain width and everything else, and then all of a sudden what that skeleton is used to carrying around in terms of weight is increased by 20 to 30 pounds, and you're expecting everything to operate and function the exact same way and not have more wear and tear and stress on the joints, then you're delusional, because that's exactly what happens, whether you're Zion Williamson or Alex Bregman. And I think the one point that you've always brought up that I really paid closer attention to, and you're absolutely spot on, is he's never done anything with in terms of his running style where he has a fluidity about him. It looks like almost mechanical. Like, he is an incredible athlete because he's strong. He's got the hand-eye mechanics to be able to hit a baseball, do the things he does at third base. But when you watch him run, there are certain guys that just, like, whether they look like a gazelle, whatever, it's just they're so fluid. They run so easily, and then they put up, you know, great speed times, their agility on the base paths and otherwise. He looks like he's forcing it every single time. And now with these injuries, you find out that maybe that's why it looked even more dramatized in the way it carried out. The other thing I'm interested in, no matter what Callis said, is his comments late before, prior to game six, about his top hand, or prior to game five. It seems like there was more than lower leg injuries. If he said he was having a hard time holding on with his top hand and having strength in it, there's something else going on.
Whenever I heard that, I just thought it was just like a mechanical thing. But I reading more and more on it, and more has been coming out since the end of the story. I think it might have been McTaggart's story that I was reading, that it said that he sprained his wrist late in the season, which is the first time I had heard of
that. Me too.
So, yeah, I mean, that kind of makes sense. Maybe that was an injury thing, too. Because remember, he came back and he was pretty hot, and then he got cold again. He wasn't hitting the home runs, but he was hitting it pretty well, squaring it up. And then all of a sudden, that disappeared. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Colts win, Jets stink, and Odell Beckham looking for a new team. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, weekend's upon us. That means there's plenty of opportunities to watch sports. When you're watching sports and maybe there's a game that you have no connection to and you want to make it a little bit more interesting, just go to mybookie.ag and put some money on it. Now any game becomes more interesting because you got a chance to win. And if you win, you get paid. And if you get paid, you're fired up, you're excited, and you want more. That's why you sign up with mybookie.ag, because right now they're running a promotion. Your next deposit up to $1,000, they're going to double it. Just put the promo code in bet975 when you sign up at mybookie.ag. If you're an existing customer or a previous customer, you're included too. Your next deposit, as long as you put in the promo code bet975, doubled up to $1,000. So say you put 100 in. Now all of a sudden you got 200 in your account. More money in your account means more games you can bet on, more chances for you to win, and more chances for you to get paid. That's the way they do it at MyBookie. And they've got all kinds of free plays and promotions as well that don't cost you anything, but you can cash in if you win. And that's the way customers love it. The fact of the matter is that they take care of every step of the way. Your money's safe and secure in your account. It's not going to just disappear. You're not going to have a hard time getting it out. If you want to get paid as soon as you win, they will pay you immediately. And of course, you can bet anywhere, anytime, from your laptop to your tablet, to your phone. It doesn't matter. Wherever you want to bet, live, in-game, or previous to games, or if you just want to get in on some prop bets, they got it all for you. Soccer, baseball, basketball, football, it's all there. Obviously, college and pro this weekend is going to be a big deal. You can bet on college and pro football. You can bet on NBA basketball, soccer in the mornings, and so much more. Check them out right now, mybookie.ag. Put in that promo code bet975 and understand the double the deposit is real. And then have a great weekend betting on sports. And remember, anytime, any place, anywhere, bet with my bookie.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lands wide open. Touchdown, Danny Pinter. Do you think the other offensive lineman like that? So does Wentz.
That's how it was going last night for the Colts. Throwing touchdowns to their big guys. Carson Wentz, 3 touchdowns. Colts blow out the Jets, 45-30. No guarantees good enough for the Jets. Colts now 4-5. They think they're a playoff team suddenly. The Jets 2-6 now. They can't have nice things. Mike White, who had an unbelievable game last week, injured his forearm and left the game.
Yeah, I was watching it, and it's a shame for him because you're looking for that opportunity. But it also kind of gets a chance to subdue all the people that put the cart way in front of the horse and decided suddenly he's better than Zach Wilson. Like, even Bart Scott is out there talking about the fact that what he was able to do in this short period of time is what Zach Wilson hasn't been able to do. And even our own former ESPN colleague, A.J. Hoffman, out there almost insinuating, hey, he's probably better than Zach Wilson. I mean, let's slow down, people, right? Like, Zach Wilson was drafted where he was drafted for a reason. And this kid, no matter what he could turn out to be, maybe he has more of an upside than one Davis Mills. But I wouldn't exactly all of a sudden anoint him a miss on a someone missed on a chance to get a first round caliber quarterback that's going to be a franchise changer. Look, he had a hell of a game last week, won a game they didn't think they were going to win, and gave you some hope that, hey, you got another quarterback on the roster that might be good enough to play in the league. He got hurt last night. But you know what? You're still supposed to have a good enough team around him or Zach Wilson or anybody else to show you can hang in the ball game. And what that tells you more of than anything else instead of the quarterback position is the Jets just aren't very good.
No, they're not very good. Robert Saleh after the game, not too pleased with his defense either.
First off, they're throwing in the fourth quarter, still had all their starters in, so they were trying to score. so they didn't take their foot off the gas. But as far as the defense, we're going to get looked at. We got the whole weekend to evaluate and try to figure this out. The run game is what's gotten us two out of these 3 weeks. Felt really good about the way we defended the run last week, but when you can't defend a run, good luck, obviously.
So there you go. That was Robert Saleh.
I would say this,
a little bit of shade there.
Do you disagree with him? Because honestly, up by 20, was it 21 in the third quarter, late in the third, and he and instead of kicking the field goal, Frank Reich goes for it on 4th-and-3 from the 3. I was glad they didn't get it, but I felt the same way as Robert Saleh.
I saw some people saying they should have taken Carson Wentz out of the game late third quarter so he didn't play a percentage of the snaps. Because remember, they have a second rounder that conveys to a first if he plays 75% of the snaps or 70% and they get to the playoffs.
I don't know where that person heard that, but I can tell you that there's a good chance they heard it from Troy Aikman, because Troy Aikman said it, and I think a lot of jaws dropped, including maybe even people at the network that were like, ooh, Troy, slow down. But he came out to start the third quarter, and he didn't even candy coat it. He said, I would expect that Carson Wentz could sit down for a majority of this second half, because you know the trade with the Eagles is predicated on the amount of snaps he plays. And he basically threw it all out there, and I was like, oh, I don't think the league's going to like that.
The Colts were just not doing that, though. They had Wentz on the field during a Sam Ellinger Wildcat play. So that's not something that Frank Reich's even thinking about. I'm a little distracted on what's going on Twitter. Either PC, Patrick Creighton, Twitter fights left and right. He does that all the time. But also Aaron Rodgers talking somewhere, and just looking at my timeline, Rodgers saying a bunch of stuff that some people aren't going to like.
I'm an obvious Packer fan, right? But when he starts saying that this is just the media trying to crap on unvaccinated people, you're being pretty hypocritical, as you've made everyone believe, whether true or not, you set everyone up to believe you were somewhat immunized or vaccinated in the way that you answered questions and carried yourself. So to suddenly try and turn it, spin it, and act like this is on the media, not me, No, 12. This one's on your shoulders, bro. This is how you've handled everything.
He's getting blasted on Twitter. Search Aaron Rodgers on Twitter and just see some of the stuff that's going on now. I need to read up more on it before I really have a stance.
Ooh, well, he went on Pat McAfee's show today.
Was it on McAfee?
Yeah, and he's talking about how the protocols are not based in science. They're shame-based, and the Packers knew his status when he didn't follow protocols, so...
Just a few things on my timeline. Bomani Jones, apparently he said that blah, blah, blah. It was recommended by Joe Rogan, my new good friend Joe Rogan. I don't know. He said a bunch of stuff.
On the McAfee show, he said he's not an anti-vax flat earther, quote, but he just did a lot of research, said he had an allergy to an ingredient in the Moderna vaccines. That left the Johnson & Johnson. He didn't like the possible side effects, so he elected against it.
I mean, I'm ignorant to anything that's not sports, and even some people would say I'm ignorant to sports. So I'm not really that educated to really speak on this a whole lot. You know what I want to speak on? Odell Beckham Jr. Mm-hmm. getting released by the Browns. Browns converting some of
I'd like OBJ's. Aaron to speak on him, too, as his new wide receiver.
OBJ's base salary into signing bonus makes it easier for a team to claim him. Very divisive conversation about like pro OBJ, pro Baker. Like it seems like you're either on one side or the other. I'm anti both dudes. Like I think it's silly that Odell Beckham Jr., because he's not getting targeted and he's not getting the football, just wants to walk away from a team that's a disappointing Super Bowl contender to date. I'm also not team Baker Mayfield because I think Baker Mayfield's overrated and is nowhere near worth the salary that they're talking about that he wants to extend him in Cleveland. I'm anti OBJ. I'm anti Baker as well. But now he's on waivers, Odell Beckham Jr. And the fact that the Browns were able to work together with OBJ and convert some of this base salary into signing bonus, it makes him easier to pick up on waivers because you pick up the prorated salary for the rest of this season, and then his next 2 years, while kind of expensive, they're non-guaranteed. So a team could just get rid of him after the end of the season, or they could trade him and not take that big of a dead cap. Well, I don't know the exact numbers involved there, but it makes it a much easier for a team to claim him.
This is the stumbling block, though. Right, this is why they're still negotiating with the team. They haven't come to a complete like parting of the ways because Odell and his camp, though they understand Cleveland's trying to recoup some of the money, they also don't want to make it so easy to pick up that any team, especially the bottom of the barrel teams, go and claim him before he hits out and out outright free agency because he goes unclaimed. He wants to go unclaimed so that he can have his pick of where to go. He doesn't want, say, for instance, God forbid, Nick Caserio and David Culley go, hey, I mean, Cleveland picked up a majority of this, and, you know, we just got rid of some receivers. Let's just bring OBJ in.
If I'm Nick Caserio, I'd do it right now. I'd do it right now if I'm Nick Caserio.
I don't think he'd even show up.
Maybe not, but so what? I dare him to show up. I dare him to come, and I try to make him as good a football player as we saw in New York, and then I trade him at the end of the offseason. I pick up Odell Beckham Jr. like that. I don't predict that they will. They'll be like, oh, he's a distraction to a 1-7 team. He's preventing our culture. Who cares? Like, if you can bring him in and he plays well and you can flip him for a third rounder, that's how you rebuild. That's how you add assets for free. That's what the Texans should be doing as opposed to trading 6-round picks for Ryan Finley.
So Sage Rosenfels, who makes appearances weekly with John and Lance, he tweeted at Andrew Brent. So the main screw up for the Browns was not realizing that OBJ would never have been interested in playing in Cleveland. He doesn't share the mentality of that city or organization. L.A., New York, Miami, Dallas, those are OBJ type cities that he'd be happy in. Does Houston fit that role?
No, I would say no.
I don't think so. Doesn't a lot of it translate to as much as the city brings? You also, most of the teams, with the exception of your Dolphins,
most
of the teams are actually decent at football, too. Well, I mean, I would think that he wants to go to a place, too, where the actual football being played is pretty quality.
I don't think he cares about that at all. I think he cares about getting the football.
But that's what I'm saying. But he's got to have someone to get him the football. You got to be a pretty good football team. Normally, pretty good football teams have a franchise quarterback or a pretty good quarterback. And if you don't, That's a problem.
It's not going to be his decision. I mean, it's going to be a team's decision on waivers, and then maybe he would hold out, things like that. But he's not going to have his pick of the litter if he doesn't clear waivers.
Right, if he doesn't. But if he does clear waivers, which is why they're still negotiating, because he wants...
See, I thought they got it done.
As far as I've heard, and I could be wrong, but up until we started the show, when I was following it, they were still in negotiations because he and his agent wanted to make sure not any team that could in the entire league could claim him. They want their pick. So they want it to still be spendy enough, and they know which teams still have cap room. And I mentioned yesterday, the Ravens are one of the few that have he's due about eight. The Ravens have 11. They're under right now. But other than that, most of the contending teams can't afford him.
Took off waivers.
Off of waivers. But if he gets to free agency, he can pick wherever he wants. He can fit in wherever he wants. He can go wherever he wants to go. That's what they want. So that's what's going to make this whole thing really interesting. Because I'm with you. I think Baker Mayfield is completely overrated. And, you know, a lot of it goes back to the mentality of where you were drafted in a lot of people's minds. It says that's what you have to amount to. And it was Cleveland's choice. They had multiple quarterbacks to choose from. They chose a guy that I think they just completely missed on, that a lot of us were surprised at. Remember, he wasn't even a guaranteed first-round pick at the start of the draft process. But by the end of it, he was not only a top-five pick, he went one. But when you look at it in retrospect, there were a lot of red flags then that are still red flags now, and even more so some of the other things with his decision-making that say this. From an OBJ perspective, look, Are his hands unbelievable? Is his athleticism and his ability to play the position unbelievable? Yes. But has he been productive? Has he been the guy that's lived up to billing and been able to do what everybody thought he could do? No. In a lot of ways, he's a bust too.
713-780-ESPN. Let's take a look at some of the teams that would make sense for Odell Beckham when we come back. Also, we'll take a look at this Rockets loss to Phoenix. I was encouraged by it. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Cars for Kids. It's carsforkids.org. Check them out right now because, look, I can tell you till I'm blue in the face that this is a local program that benefits kids trying to get a second chance at an education. All the money goes through the Houston Can Academy, so it stays local. And those are all fantastic qualities of this program. But the main thing for you is it does you a big favor. If you've got a vehicle, whether it's working or not, whether you have the title for it or not, it's collecting dust and rust, and it's an eyesore. It could be in your garage, your driveway, a field, wherever it may be, and you just want to get rid of it, but you don't want to pay any money out of pocket to do so. You don't have to. You get in touch with Cars for Kids. They're going to come to you. They're going to tow it away. They're going to find the title and get track it down if they have to, and that's off your plate as well. It's going to cost you nothing for the tow. You're going to get a tax write-off, which is big because you're actually going to gain from that. And then for mentioning ESPN 97.5 along the way, you're also going to gain by getting a $50 Visa gift card. That's when the process really begins because that's when they take your donation and they turn it into resources for kids trying to get that degree. It's all a perfect helping you, helping me, handshake opportunity to scratch each other's back and get a great deed done. You get all those benefits. They get the vehicle, turn it into resources, and now a kid that needs to focus on his books but might be hungry and needs a meal, maybe can't get to school and needs a bus ride, maybe don't have the money for books, now they do because of your donations. It's fantastic. It's all because of your donations. If you got something you think you can contribute, please check them out again, carsforkids.org. And remember, as we always say, right off the car. And not the kid.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, I want to go through some of these teams in the NFL that could bring in Odell Beckham Jr. Remember, once this gets finalized, that he's going to have to clear waivers. I think there's a pretty good chance he doesn't clear waivers because the way they've negotiated the deal with the Browns made it a little bit more reasonable for him to get claimed. That would take the Browns off the hook of some of this money. But let's just assume that he does clear waivers and he enters free agency. Let's go to some of the top of the standings. Green Bay, I mean, you're a Packer guy. You like that?
I've been saying it for 2 years. I love it. I get that. You know what? The whole thing with Rodgers in the past, too, is he doesn't have enough weapons around him. You needed someone to take away some of the double teams and all the attention of Devontae Adams. Put him on the other side. Absolutely makes sense.
If I'm already a Super Bowl contender, and I think that the Packers are, I'm not touching Odell Beckham Jr.
Why?
Because we've seen him tear down two different organizations. But I don't think he's very good anymore.
See, they got a culture that his antics, if it is indeed his antics in the locker room, that's not going to fly in Green Bay or New England as much as it is in other places.
I mean, if you're going to bring him in, you have to be willing to cut him.
They just did with Jalen Smith. They're willing to go out and make a commitment to a guy. We didn't know that. We didn't know that for sure, right? And he was a young talent. He was a guy that was highly regarded coming out until he got the injury at Notre Dame. He had a couple of good years in the NFL as well. So they're going to make the commitment, but at the same time, just like New England would, just like the Packers would be the same way. We'll bring you in. We got enough veteran stability in the locker room that if you're going to pull some antics, goodbye. Because the one thing that's interesting to me is it's going to be very hard for you to go around the league and find someone that played with OBJ that doesn't think he's a great dude, a great teammate, and really has been really, really fun to be around.
Unless you're a quarterback, then you couldn't stand the guy.
It's more about the coaching staff. I don't think that Baker – I don't think he does it one-on-one, face-to-face with Baker. I think that a lot of what you saw with Dad's tweets.
But wouldn't that make you a little bit more upset than doing it face-to-face? Like if somebody was talking behind your back?
I think it's a cheesy way to go about
absolutely.
It. But I think that when you talk to guys that have played with him and been in the locker room with him, they said he's not a distraction. He's not a problem child. He's not all the things that a lot of the perception is outside of the locker room. Now, you're absolutely right. You make a valid point. If you're a quarterback and, you know, look, you're trying your damnedest sometimes too much to get you the ball and he's still bitching. He's not bitching at you. He's bitching about you. I would have a big issue with that. I completely agree. More of it is he's always – remember when he – with the kicking net and everything else? It was about the coordinator and the coaching staff not getting him the ball.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he cares about, is about getting the ball. I believe it's more important than him winning. And that's, look, the fact that his dad released the YouTube video, his dad's not going to do that unless Junior signs off on that. I firmly believe that. Arizona, 7-1, I don't touch
this. No, they got enough receivers.
They have enough receivers. They have some young guys, too, Kirk and Rondell Moore. Los Angeles Rams, this is one we disagreed on yesterday. I wouldn't touch him. Yeah, but the young guys after the top two veterans. I wouldn't touch them if I'm the Rams. You're not getting the ball ahead of Cup. You're not getting ahead of Woods. They like the young guy, Van Jefferson. I'm not touching Odell Beckham. That's already a Super Bowl contender.
The only reason why they would is because they lost to Sean Jackson and they feel like we got room for him, but you're right. Otherwise, in terms of what he's going to want coming in, unless it's just about winning a ring, they don't have space for him because they got too many guys that are going to get the ball.
Same thing with Dallas. I mean, they have Cedric Wilson and Gallup behind their studs and Amari and CeeDee Lamb. No way there. Tennessee, already two receivers. A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. Tampa Bay, too many receivers there as well. Las Vegas Raiders just lost Ruggs.
Big time. Fits right in. Absolutely helps them in because they have no other ways of going out and getting help unless they find a street free agent. This is a perfect scenario for the Raiders simply because of the fact that we've passed the trade deadline. You're not going to be able to go out and get someone right now, and you're a playoff team. Makes sense.
That's to me the broad, like, who could bring in Odell Beckham. It's the team that has playoff aspirations, maybe even Super Bowl aspirations, but still needs that extra thing to go over the hump. That's why the next team, Baltimore, they have Hollywood Brown.
And they got the money.
They have Mark Andrews, too, but if he's a free agent, you don't need the money. Buffalo Bills, again, for me, no thank you. You have Stephon Diggs, you have Cole Beasley, he's putting up huge numbers, Emmanuel Sanders you brought in. New Orleans Saints, to me, makes sense. Going back, he was an LSU kid. And they, look, they're, again, a Super Bowl team, or at least they think they're a Super Bowl team, a playoff team with aspirations to go to the Super Bowl. But now without Jameis Winston, you feel like you might need a little bit extra on that offense.
That's the drawback. They can claim him, but he's going to have a hard time convincing himself to show up because he knows there's no one there to get him the football. I don't think he's going to believe in Simeon. I don't think he's going to believe in Taysom Hill. And I think that if Jameis was still there, he knows what kind of defense and all-around roster the Saints have. And like you mentioned, an LSU kid going back into that area of the country, I think he'd be all for it. But because he has to prove himself so that he can have longevity in this league and have a certain status that he believes he's at, he's got to have someone that throws it to him. I don't think he's got anybody there.
Cincy, too many receivers, no. Pittsburgh, too many receivers, no. Chargers, they like what they have offensively, no. Carolina, I don't see that happening. New England is a name that I've seen mentioned here.
I don't get that.
I don't either. I don't feel like Bill Belichick's going to want Odell Beckham anywhere around Mac Jones.
Completely agree. And you know what? And they're not a long-run playoff team right now, right? If they make it, they're ahead of schedule with Mac Jones, and kudos, tip of the cap to everybody involved that Belichick bounced back. But I don't think that, and again, because when we remember, like, going back to our conversation yesterday, when culture matters, culture matters because you have your franchise quarterback of the future, because you're showing signs that you're turning it around and you're starting to that progression upward again. You don't need a disgruntled veteran coming in that's demanding the football, taking you out of the offense that's been working and blowing the whole thing up.
Yeah, to me, it's down to two teams. And maybe there's somebody else that you're thinking of that I'm not, but it's Las Vegas, the Raiders, it's the Saints. And to me, that's it.
I'll throw another one at you, although the reason why it doesn't make sense is because it depends on whether you think they're a playoff team or not. And I think Chicago. I think Chicago because they need help offensively and they need guys that Justin Fields can go to that, you know, aside from just Robinson, they need some more help at receiver. The Niners to me.
Niners maybe.
If they were competitive. Seattle, to me, if Russell Wilson hadn't gotten hurt and put him on the other side of DK Metcalf.
But does he think he's going to get enough targets with Metcalf and Lockett? I don't think so.
Lockett's maybe Seattle been dinged claims up, but here's the bigger thing. Because of the fact that Russ has been so adamant about not putting enough help around him, and because this offseason could get real messy with Russ, and they might have a divorce headed their way if they don't do some things, this would be a way to try and appease Russ. Just like I think, as much as they think he could possibly help them in Green Bay, this would be as much to appease Aaron Rodgers as it would be to try and win a Super Bowl, and I think Seattle's thinking the same way.
All right, we'll hit the Rockets on the other side. Also, we're going to pick Dell's brain on just who this Miami Dolphins team is and what kind of chances the Texans have of going into the Hard Rock Stadium, where it's a difficult place to play, and come out with a victory. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.